What's up, everybody? Welcome to WPC Plus, and I am Pierre Camus. With me is Nicholas Scott. As always, we're here to talk baseball. Not actual baseball that's being played, because that's not happening yet. It's going to. Trust us. But we're going to talk fantasy and draft strategy, because there are certain players that are still going to be on everybody's radar, but maybe not in the same exact place, because, you know, career years, they don't always repeat themselves, Nick. That's all I'm going to say to start things out. But Danny Santana is today's topic, and we're going to throw down here. Oh, I'm sorry, it says showdown, throw down. It's the same thing, right? Showdown, throw down.
Yeah. All right. Rhymes.
We'll go with showdown. We've done this already. We talked about Miguel Sano, your boy, and Vladito, who's my boy. Whose boy is Danny Santana? Nick, I'll let you have the floor first. Our rankings are a little bit different here, and tell me how you feel exactly about Santana.
Well, so, yeah, you know, at first glance, he does look kind of like the flash in the pan out of the blue year. He came up middle of April, ended up with a little over 500 plate appearances, 28 home runs, 21 stolen bases, batted .283. To kind of put into context of how good of a year that was, he had 6 less home runs than Francisco Lindor, 20 runs less scored, but had 7 more RBIs, and they batted about the same. Lindor had 1 more stolen base. So a very, like, Francisco Lindor-like kind of year. I think people give Santana credit for a really great year, but don't quite understand, the rare air he was in with the power speed combo, which is, you know, irresistible to fantasy players. So it is a career year at 29. Like, it's always kind of suspect. He was good a very long time ago. In 2014, he came up from Minnesota in his rookie year, not top rookie, but he had like a 138 WRC plus, 7 home runs, 20 stolen bases, and then was just bad in 15, 16, 17, collects like 700 plate appearances up and down from the majors and the minors, gets traded to Atlanta, not very good there, but then was a little sneakily good in 2018, still gets DFA'd, signs a minor league contract with Texas, and that's how we end up with Danny Santana, finally a full-time starter at age 29. But the kind of reason I believe in him is that the Danny Santana we got this year was quite a bit different in approach and how he was hitting the ball. And it started in 2019, you know, we saw it in 2019, but he had kind of started to change some of these things when he was in the minor leagues for Atlanta. Just looking at his ground ball rates and fly ball rates, he had all his career, always really high ground ball rates, middling exit velocities from the StatCast data we do have, always low to mid 80s, not a lot of fly balls, whole mess of ground balls. And then 2018 with Atlanta, those things start to change. We obviously don't have any exit velocity data, but his fly ball percent jumps way up to 35-40% when it had been around 25% range. Ground ball rate drops dramatically and, you know, gets in the 35-40% range. In 2019, he does the same thing. Ground ball's way down, fly ball's way up, and his exit velocities are skyrocketing. Over 91 miles per hour. That was top 10% in the league. His launch angle, which had always been in the 2 to 6 degree angle range, was now at over 11%. And just kind of looks to me like, you know, Danny Santana, he's a late bloomer that has kind of embraced the launch angle revolution and is figuring out that hitting the ball really hard and in the air a lot has got him a lot of success. And when you combine that with the stolen bases and just how rare, you know, people that can hit 25 home runs and steal 20 bases. There's four other people who did that this year. Yelich, Acuna, Story, and Lindor, Danny Santana. So that is my long-winded defense of a 29-year-old who's had one good year.
And that's a good one, too. I mean, you know, we all embrace the launch angle era, and that makes sense. Putting that, you know, that list the company is keeping, and you see how valuable he was last year. Let me add something, too, because the fact is he isn't just an outfielder, right? No, that's primarily what he plays. If you're playing Yahoo, he qualifies basically everywhere, right? Other than catcher, first base, second base, third base, shortstop, and outfield. So that gives you a lot of versatility. But let me go now and go and shoot down every single one of your great points that you just made. So let's start with the fact that, yeah, in Yahoo, I got to give it to you that, you know, that versatility does help. So I think if you're waiting on a position, you know, and he falls to you, then that could help, you know, plug a hole. If you need speed, you didn't go early, you know, he can give you that power speed. But beware, if you play basically anywhere else, he's only qualifying at first base and outfield, right? He doesn't have all that infield eligibility. So that's one thing just to be mindful of, because we already know, if anybody knows about differences in platforms, it's you, right? You've been breaking it down for points leagues, which, by the way, quick plug here, if you want to know anything ever about points leagues, if you want to know everything about points leagues for each individual platform, this is your man, right? Broken down CBS, ESPN, Fantrax, NFBC, Yahoo. So we know there's differences there. But let me talk about Santana. Now, okay, first thing is the age. Obviously, the age is the issue, right? 29. We always have to be very suspicious of somebody who has their career year after prime age, right? Post prime breakout, you could say. If it was a player in these exact same numbers, came out and he was, you know, 24 or younger, we'd say that this is a rising star. This is a guy who could do this repeat, could even get better. But as the kids say, it's a little sus, right? It's a little sus for me. So it's very suspicious the fact that this happened at 29. Is he going to repeat this? No. Okay. Could he still go 2020? Maybe. But here's another thing. Still with Texas, we know that that is a, you know, very nice offensive environment. Going to, hypothetically, new park, you'd say, well, the differences aren't going to be enormous, right? It's not like he's going, you know, from Coors to, you know, Tropicana Dome or something like that. But this is a field that supposedly is, you know, they're aiming for a little bit more neutral. So maybe the ball doesn't jump off the bat quite as much. You know, maybe he doesn't get quite as much on, you know, those deep shots. So, I mean, the power, I'd have to think, is going to go down. So the other thing, as far as Santana, I want to see him do at least something close to what he's done before, because I know we talk about, you know, career years, but even so, I mean, this is such an outlier. Like you said, this guy who's bounced around, never held, you know, full-time job. It was just, and I'm not saying he can't come close, but still, this is something that I'm very, it's hard for me to stomach at the ADP he's going, because I understand what he did last year, but don't we always talk about not paying up for last year's stats? So right now, on NFBC, his ADP is what, 128. To me, it's just too early to pull a trigger on a guy like that. Now, of course, I do see other guys like Tommy Edmund, who I don't even have in my top 200. So I definitely would have him over a guy like that.
Love that.
But, I mean, sorry, I'm a Cardinals fan. I don't want to take a shot at a Cardinal there, but still.
No, I don't understand the time yet. I saw that on ADP too. Like, right, I'm like, oh, guys, come on, stop. Yeah. Like,
that's kind of like the John Birdie thing for me.
That's sure.
Yeah. But I feel like people feel like they have to overpay for speed because you stole 20 bases. You don't have to. You could make up, you know, maybe 15 stolen bases. 200 picks later, we're getting like Nico Goodrum, you know what I mean? And he still qualifies at every position also. So I just feel like this is a massive overpay for last year's stats. And, you know, the combination of factors, will he still be valuable? Yes. But to me, he'd be valuable a lot later. And I just think that, again, the situation where we're going to overpay for what we have gotten, and I don't think it's going to be nearly repeatable. I think he might be lucky to go 2020.
No, it's totally understandable, and I don't like his ADP very much. It, you know, it's risen quite a bit. you know, and I looked at he's at like 128, and you look at draft champions over the past like 3 weeks, and he's a little bit higher. He's, I think he's at like 142. I don't love that price at all. But I like his, like I said, the power speed combo is rarer than we think. And I don't think he's going to bat 283 again, but I don't think he's going to bat the 250-ish that projection systems are calling for. He did have a high BABIP around 350, but he hits the ball a lot harder now. And you're going to – guys that have exit velocities like that are often going to run a little higher on the BABIP side. And, you know, like I said, it is a career year out of nowhere, but you look at his last year in the minors with Atlanta, and you look at what he's done – with Texas this time around, and he's consciously, it looks like a change in swing mentality, less ground balls, more fly balls, hitting the ball a lot harder with a lot higher aim. And there is just, there's, you know, I listed those guys that get that, have that many home runs and stolen bases. There's just not a lot of them. You know, I wish I could get Santana at like once, you know, a couple rounds later. He's gotten quite a bit of steam this offseason. But the other thing, and I think a reason some of his ADP might have picked up a little bit, is that Texas believes in him. That was my big question going into the offseason, is the playing time. But they traded Nomar Mazara, who was not exciting, but he hit 20 home runs every year for the past 4 years. They trade him to the White Sox. They include Blaine DeShields in the – he goes to Cleveland in the Kluber trade, and there's no one else to play center field for the Rangers. That's what they, I mean, Joey Gallo. But right now, you know, before, you know, Willie Calhoun got hurt, you know, I'm assuming he'll probably be, whenever we do start baseball, he's going to be ready. But before he got hurt, he was in left, Gallo was in right, Santana in center with Nick Solak kind of on the outside looking in, on the outfield and at third base with Todd Frazier. There's no one in the minors really waiting to play center either. I mean, they have Leody Tavares, who took a really big step back when he got promoted to AA last year. He's not going to be major league ready this year. So unless they have no one in-house besides Danny Santana, so that kind of worry that he'd get squeezed for playing time has went away. And makes me a little more confident that the Rangers are more confident.
Yeah, and that's one thing. The plus is for him, playing time is definitely not an issue, like you said, and the positional eligibility, you know, at least in Yahoo, maybe certain leagues, that's definitely a plus. If you can get him in the infield, I like him a lot better than in the outfield, especially if you wait, you know, on second base or something like that. But I got to ask you about this, the ball, because, again, this is a guy who – looking at his track record in the majors, granted, not over full seasons, but, you know, there's a reason for that, too. 7 home runs, 0 home runs, 2, 4, 1, 3, 0, and then 28. Could this have to do with a juice ball? What if the ball isn't juiced this year? You know what I mean? Is that a concern that he's just one of those guys who benefited for a career? Launch angle or not, he could still be putting the ball in the air, but maybe it just doesn't go over the wall this much.
Yeah, and I, you know, you got to put the juice ball into there. And I mean, he did, I think his home run fly ball percent was 23%, which was high. But once again, I'm kind of looking at, you know, I'm choosing to ignore the bad Danny Santana and say this is a new Danny Santana. And I could ignore all the previous, his horrible, horrible numbers and say this is a new Danny Santana that hits the ball really, really hard. He hits it in the air. Juice ball or no juice ball. I do think, you know, he hit 28 home runs and 511 plate appearances. I do think, like, I think 25 for a full season is more in line. And that's projection systems, I think, most have him around 21, 22, and stolen bases between 15 and 20. He's always, even when he was bad, his per plate appearance, his stolen bases was pretty high. So I think 20 stolen bases, definitely within range. And I said the batting average is probably the big difference that, you know, I think is going to be a lot more plump than systems are calling for. You look at his, you know, he had a high BABIP, but you look at his XBA on StatCast, and it was 276. Not too bad. So I wish the ADP was better, but I think that 25 home runs, 20 stolen bases, and a 275 average is very doable for young Danny. And I said, he's a lot nicer in Yahoo if you can get him in the infield. You know, you don't want to, not nearly as choice playing him in the outfield, but I really like him to have another very good year this year.
Notice your choice of word, the young Danny, trying to make him seem like some young whippersnapper now.
Well, but we're putting the Danny, blinders on, Dan. Right? Dan. If it was Dan Santana, he'd sound like he was 35. But no, Danny Santana, he's young and fresh.
There you go. I'm going to call him Daniel Santana from that one. I like that. Just put the blinders on. Let's forget everything that happened before last year. And,
yeah, new player. Yeah.
Just different guy. All right. And it might be true. I mean, we'll find out. Hopefully. My projection is for him to hit exactly 8 home runs. That's because I project that we're going to have like a 50-game season. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. For, like I said, Santana, I don't hate him. I just hate his ADP, like you said. And not so much another shot at him, but again, if you're looking for a guy who can give you some power, some speed, and has that versatility, take your last round or second to last round pick, a guy like Nico Goodrum, like I said. There's other players who can offer that. And I'll tell you this, I love Danny Santana from last year because I actually picked him up in TGFBI. He helped me quite a bit, and I had him and Goodrum. And I mean, just having them, you know, to move around every week was very helpful. I didn't have a high speed guy. I didn't have anybody who stole more than 25 bases, and I wound up leading the league in stolen bases just because I had guys who had that versatility, you know, kind of here and there spread out. So those are definitely useful players to have, but again, check your system. Last thing in points, you're our points guru. Do we like Santana better or worse?
Worse.
I would think so. Just making sure.
It kind of depends on the system. He's, off the top of my head, I am going to assume that he does it. Actually, I know he does very poorly in ESPN, who charges a full negative point for a strikeout. CBS is -1.5. Pretty sure he does really bad for them. But even in other systems, he doesn't walk very much. So he's not going to get those points either. I'm pretty sure, I was just looking at NFBC stuff, I'm pretty sure he does pretty decent in NFBC because you're getting your most points for home runs, and you're getting 6 points for a home run and 5 points for a stolen base. You get 4 points for any hit, but 4 points for a double, triple, or a single, but then 6 for the home run. So no penalization for strikeouts there. So he does pretty well, but once again, he doesn't walk very much, and you get a -1 for at bats in FBC. So a low walk rate is going to hurt you. So no, I don't like him nearly as much in Roto. Like, there's some specific formats, but his ADP kind of matches his Roto ADP in points league. So he's never really going to fall to me.
Yeah, and NFBC, generally speaking, if there's a point system that's more similar to Roto, it would be that one, right? And so that's the one thing. His plate discipline, not ideal. Again, in Roto, right, you want the home runs, you want the steals, those glamour positions, he's your guy. And then before we finish with that, too, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think, where is he projected to hit in the lineup? Because the run totals, that'll make a big difference, right? If he's at the top or the bottom, he's kind of what, number 6 guy generally? Is that where he's projected?
Yeah, I think Roster Resource has him for 6 right now. Okay. They go, they have Chu leading off, and then Andrews, and then they had Willie Calhoun batting 3rd before he got hurt. Joey Gallo 4, Todd Frazier 5th, and then Santana at 6 and Odor at 7. I would expect, like, I don't expect Todd Frazier to hit 5th all year. I'm higher on Odor too. You know, I'm not like Eric Smolski level high on Brusnet or Odor, but
nobody
I'm still pretty
is
high.
That high.
No. But I think those I think Odor and Santana are gonna be the ones that end up settling into that fifth and sixth spot. Santana's not gonna go any higher than that. Like he just his on base percentage is just not high enough to ever work his way up to the top of the order. So fifth, sixth is the most likely for him.
Yeah, and that's still pretty good and you know, in a decent lineup there. At least he's not at the bottom of the order, so that keeps everything in play as far as him, you know, producing the counting stats. So good player, nice young player. It all depends, right? You know, it depends on your draft, your platform and all that. Like I said, I'm not a Santana hater, right? But I just, you know, there's certain players. We have a little discrepancy. You know, you're buying more into the last year's stats than I am. We'll see how things shake out. At least, hopefully, we'll see very, very soon, right? We really
will.
We
will.
See.
Yes,
all right.
Please.
Yeah, please. I just want to see something, right? And check out our other, like I mentioned earlier, our other Ranker Showdowns. We talked about Vlad Guerrero Jr. We talked about Miguel Sano. And we're going to have to do some pitchers pretty soon, I think. Maybe next week should be a pitcher.
Yeah.
Why not? All right. Thanks for watching, guys. Again, hit the subscribe button. And hit the notification bell for all the latest content on this Rotoballer YouTube channel. Thanks for watching.
Thanks.